guy's gonna be some senator one day.
Is up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the actual stream. We had a little bit of a mishap, just a little bit of a mishap here a few minutes ago, where I accidentally created a stream on the wrong profile, or on by accident. I was not quite ready yet. I am ready now. We are getting along. We are rolling right ahead. No mishaps are gonna set us aside. So sorry about that if you saw that, but we made a little bit of a mistake, but we're good now. We're good. Tonight is another great Friday night. It's beautiful outside, actually. Low-key kind of wish I was outside, but I spent some time outside today. It was good. It'd be nice to still be out there, but I have to come spend some time with you guys, and I love doing that. I genuinely love doing that. As nice as outside would be, I do enjoy being on here with you guys. So tonight's main topic, gonna roll right into this. Everyone knows that the conservative movement is less than unified when it comes to its messaging, when it comes to its organization, especially when it comes to its vision. Now, you and I both know that vision is an integral part of a successful movement. It's an integral part of any successful anything, really. Any organization, any sports team, any movement thing, you need a good vision. If you own a business and you don't have vision, you don't have anywhere to take the talent or the organizational skills or anything that you have, and you don't have anything to put that behind. If you have a movement and you have organization and you have warm bodies who are able to go out and do the things you want them to do, but you don't have vision, there's nothing to fight for. The conservative movement needs vision. And so that's why tonight I am debuting a 10-point vision for American renewal that I have over the last week worked on. I'm bringing that to you guys tonight. I'm going to publish that after the stream. It's going to be available for you to read. It's going to be available there with your friends. But I believe that this 10-point vision is integral for us as a movement to get behind and to go forward. Now, I've kept it somewhat broad in a lot of aspects because this is meant to be a conversation starter, and I'll get to that at the end. But first off, let's get into the Jesse Hughes 10-point vision for the conservative movement for American renewal. Point number one, reclaiming our national identity. Now, there is no American identity in the year 2024. There's nothing that currently binds all Americans together as one nation. This is unsustainable. No nation can survive without an identity that its citizens can connect with, hope in, and rally behind. What has our national identity been historically? It was connected to the many of the other points that are going to be on this list, but it was the foundation from which they came. The United States of America was a nation founded on the ideals that were drawn from the Holy Bible. Some say that it had a Christian founding. You and I, if you're watching this show, you probably believe as I do that the United States had a Christian founding from mostly Christian men into a Christian nation. It was founded as one nation under God, though, as you and I know, added later to the Pledge of Allegiance and added later to the Halls of Congress, it was the original rallying cry that the Founding Fathers were under, even if they didn't put it explicitly in the documents. And this is made evident by the fact that it was just incredibly obvious to M, who knew it at the time. If you look back in history, it was incredibly obvious. Americans understood this since our nation's beginning. Our founding documents and the founding principles were inspired by Protestant Christian beliefs. That doesn't mean other Christians can't come in, but this was the inspiration. These beliefs translated into the ideals that we held dear for most of our history. Rule of law, equality under the law, individual freedom to do what is right, an orderly society, the ability to work and make a better life for yourself and your family. We need to reclaim our national identity, and this starts by reclaiming these Christian principles that made our nation great. Point number two, restoring our communities. Communities throughout the nation are in disarray. We have no communal bonds at all. The small town virtues of the past are gone. This needs to be reversed. Individualism is a founding principle of this country, but throughout American history, everyone understood that individuals need community support. You cannot do things on your own. Go out and do things on your own. We all need a community to support us. And now the most basic form of community is the family, which I will get into. But families build neighborhoods, which build cities and towns. This used to be the communal structure that supported most Americans. You look back in history, most Americans were supported by a church community. They were supported by a town. They were supported by their neighbors. Neighbors, church members, and townspeople all across the nation used to look out for one another. When community divided, crime was lower, people were happier, and prosperity followed. This is evident. This is not the case today. Our society today is more lonely than ever. You and I know this. Crime is rampant, and our children have no communities to look to. Used to, there were men, women, strong figures in the community, whether they be firefighters, police, church members, townspeople, what name it, whatever, your teacher, the guy that lives down the street, your neighbor. There were people that children looked to. This is not the case anymore. Our children have no heroes. The only community most people have is found online. This is not enough. You're not going to get the type of community that you need online. We need to restore the communities throughout our nation if we're going to restore our nation. Point number three, restoring our families. The family is the foundational unit for all of society. There is no wonder it has been the most attacked institution by the left. The family should be supported by the nation, not torn down. Welfare policies that discourage marriage abandoned. No-fault divorce should be abolished. Policies should be enacted that promote getting married, staying together, and having children. We should have an economy that makes it possible for families to not only survive, but to thrive on a single income the way it used to be. This also means rejecting LGBT plus ideology that damages the family and the nation. This is one of the most important ways that we can preserve our national identity. Point number four, leveraging power for good. One of the foundational principles of the American system of government is that the federal government has limited power. This should remain to be the case. But we cannot be afraid to use the powers that government does have. Too often, conservatives confuse the idea of limited government with the libertarian notion of small government. The American Constitution sets up limited government, but it is not meant to be small, at least not in the sense that many libertarians mean. The left has been leveraging government power and using it for evil. We must claw that power back, return it to its proper bounds, and use the power that is afforded to us to its full sent for the purpose of promoting good in the nation. If the Constitution allows you to do it, you should. That is all that I'm advocating with this point. If the Constitution allows you to do it, you should. Number five, working for the common man. The common man is the vaccination and a foundation, foundational part of strong families, my bad. Plumbers, carpenters, electricians, welders, miners, farmers, truckers, soldiers, nurses, doctors, and the like. Those like them are the reason that we are able to eat, work, and live peacefully from day to day. Our economy and our society should work for the common man, not against them. Too often today, you see many people just dissuaded, disparaging the common person. You see them looking at a typical blue-collar worker and thinking, you know, nothing but filth, who cares? Even though these are the people that help secure the foundation of our nation. We should be working for them, not against them. Number six, securing our national sovereignty. It is no secret that our border is open now. We must secure and lock down the border and deport every single criminal alien that is on American soil right now. We must also increase restrictions on immigration and must rework the system so that inevitably, only the best and brightest who our land and assimilate to our culture are able to enter the country. No more of taking people that are going to go to Michigan and shout death to America on the streets. We're not doing that anymore. If we have to temporarily shut down the border completely to all in order to fix this problem, we should. Inevitably, though, we will have an immigration system that is strict, that only lets in the best, and will make sure that those who come in will assimilate, as they should. Number seven, reclaiming our... Oh, and on the last point, number six, in order to be able to have something to assimilate to, we have to, in tandem, go back to point number one, reclaiming our national identity, so that there is an American identity for these immigrants to assimilate to. Point number seven, reclaiming our institutions. Every major institution in the United States, from the universities to the media to the mainline church, has been captured by the left. We must take them back. It took 50 years for the left to take control. It may take another 50 for us to reclaim them. But if the nation is to survive, this is a battle that we must fight. And this is a battle that we must win. Number eight, and this one will come into play a little bit later in the show as well, but number eight, protecting life at all levels. Life is a precious gift. We must recognize that all people are created in the image of God, and that they are given by God certain unalienable rights, including the right to life. We must stand firmly and boldly against abortion, euthanasia, and other practices that degrade the value of human life, and be prepared to present a clear and concise to the American people on why these things are wrong. That's one area where we're failing right now, if we're being honest. Number nine, promoting good, punishing evil. The most basic role of the government is to promote what is good and to punish what is evil. This means we must restore the idea of law and order in our nation. We must stop punishing regular citizens when they protect themselves and start punishing dangerous criminals who terrorize our communities. Law and order are essential to maintaining liberty in our land. Liberty cannot survive without order. That's why government must be vigilant in its role to promote good and punish evil. And lastly, number 10, building an inheritance for our children. For too long, many policies and laws have been aimed at satisfying immediate needs and providing instant gratification. This is unsustainable for a nation's future. We must focus on providing for current needs, but we must also work to build an inheritance for our children and for the future citizens of this nation. Focusing on today to the detriment of tomorrow is bad politics. We must be able to leave something for future generations to build off of. This 10-point vision for American renewal is meant to be a rallying cry and a bedrock for conservative policy going forward. This is our foundation. It is time to build from it. We can't just sit by and let this become another theoretical vision to the wayside. It is time to act, and to act swiftly. This vision is not meant to be the end of the conversation. This is the conversation starter. The next step is to strategize how we present this vision, how we message it, how we organize our movement around it, and ultimately how we implement it. Not going to be able to go forward on a vision if we have no structure and have no organization and have nothing to carry it forward. But we're also going to have worthless organizations that don't do anything if they don't have a vision. That's why I worked on this. That's why I'm bringing it to you today to present it to you. Because if we are going to go forward a conservative movement on these values and ideals that we hold dear, we have to have a vision and a message that we can clearly communicate to the American people, and I think this is where we start. This 10-point vision for American renewal, I believe, will be a fantastic starting point for us to be able to create organizations and create movements to be able to present this to America and say, listen, we don't just want to completely be a party that's in opposition to the left. That is a huge part of what we need to be doing. The left's entire goal is to be in opposition to us. Part of our goal should be to be in opposition to the left, but we should also be able to have something that we can sell to people so it doesn't just look like it's two sides clashing with one another constantly, but instead it's one side whose entire goal is to stand against us, and it's us who have a vision and a structure of going forward to build an America that is better than the one that we have now. That's what this 10-point vision is about. I hope that you will join me in fighting for this vision. I hope you'll join me in sharing this. Share this with your friends. Share this with your family. It'll be going live. I'll put up a written out version of this as soon as the stream ends. It'll be available. But I hope that you will help me share this, because I believe that this is the structure that we need to fall back on going forward. Now, moving on into the stream. Some of you may have seen that there has been a little bit of a controversy going on this week regarding Donald Trump, Carrie Lake, others like them, on the issue of abortion, and specifically, how should Christians react to this? In case you missed it, Donald Trump first came out and said that he believed that abortion was a issue to be left to the states, which is not a new point of view. It's something that it's kind of a point of view that's found at the Republican Party for a while. It's not anything new. But where things went kind of sideways is earlier this week, Arizona's Supreme Court ruled that a 1860s law that said that abortion was illegal out of conception, except in the case of risk to the mother's life, that law could be enforced. And where a lot of people, especially a lot of people in the abolitionist movement, which I consider myself a part of, though I do have some qualms with how they handle things sometimes, a lot of people in the abolitionist movement were upset and surprised when Trump came out and said that this ruling was too strong and that the Arizona legislature needed to come up with something that includes exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. Now, regardless of how you feel about those exceptions, a lot of people who consider themselves pro-life were very surprised. I don't know why, but we're very surprised by Trump's approach here. Now, this is nothing really new. Now, Trump has kind of evolved on the issue of abortion from the time. In 2016, he said that there should be some form of punishment for the mother, which I agree with. He doesn't really say that anymore. He kind of got talked into toning down his rhetoric by a lot of establishmentarians. And so Trump has kind of been iffy on abortion. a fair thing to say that he has been the most pro-life president in quite a long time. Definitely in my lifetime. I've only been around for 22 years, almost 23. But I had to check my watch for that. But certainly been the most pro-life president in my lifetime. Some people claim he's more pro-life than Reagan. I'm not sure. Reagan did have similar policy to Trump, if we're being honest on this issue. But the biggest thing is that Trump appointed pro-life judges who got Dobbs overturned, or who got Roe overthrew Dobbs. Was Dobbs perfect? No, but it was a great first start. And it created the framework that we're able to work with now. And so a lot of people are upset at Trump, and some are suggesting that we withhold our vote from Trump to put a right on this issue. Now, I do agree that we should push Trump to the right on this issue. I think that should be the goal. Personally, I don't think that withholding our vote is the way to do that, especially when abortion is one of the important issues, but it's not the only issue that we're dealing with. I just gave you a 10-point structure for American renewal. Abortion comprised part of one of those points. There are other issues we have to deal with. The border, transgender ID, the federal government gone mad, intelligence agencies and government bureaucracies that are overstepping their bounds and their power. These are all issues that maybe to some extent or the other might not be as important to abortion, especially from person to person, but these issues that are also incredibly important and we need to keep in mind going forward into this next election. Because Trump might not be perfect on abortion, but he's a lot better than Biden is. And Trump might not be where we want him to be on, but no candidate running is. You can say you're going to write in somebody. Go ahead and try. It's not going to go anywhere. And at the end of the day, you're just going to be either mad because Trump got in and he's not instituting the policies that you want him to, even though we now, if he's in office, we have leverage to be able to push him to the right on this issue. Or you're going to be even worse off because Biden will get reelected. And if Biden gets reelected in his second term, guess what? You think things are bad now? You think inflation is high now? You think gender ideology is going crazy now? Border is out of control now? You think, yes, abortion is out of control now? You think that churches are getting harassed badly now? Look at what a second Biden term will be. It will be much worse than anything going on. I just disappeared from the screen for a second. The government said hello. I guess they're listening. They're listening to the stream. They know that I'm here. Hello, FB. Thank you for tuning in. But if you think things are bad now, just imagine what a second Biden administration will be like. And so that is why I understand the argument that my friends are making, but that is why I am donning the MAGA hat. As I so frequently do nowadays, it's crooked. Sorry, this is. There we go. That was awkward. The MAGA hat is on. The MAGA hat stays on. This is my position. I'm voting for Trump. Listen. There is a line. When he crosses that line, I will know. And if he crosses that line, I will seriously consider not voting for him and probably won't. As important as an issue as abortion is to me, that line just has not been crossed yet for me because I realize the reality of the situation that we're in. I'm still going to vote for Trump. Is he perfect on abortion? No, he's horrible on abortion right now. I wish he was better. But there are so many things, more than just this one issue, that encompass the entire reality of American politics that have to be taken into consideration. And so that is why I think it is a bad idea to not vote for Trump in November. And that is why I would recommend strongly to my pro-life, to my abolitionist friends who are considering not voting for Trump to please consider changing your mind. I know a lot of them are set in their ways. They're not going to. I know of a lot of them will probably disagree heavily with me. And I know of them, well, not a lot of them, but I know even some of them who have said that they now believe, they're to the point where they believe that voting for Trump is a sin because of this. If that is your conviction, that is your conviction. At the end of the day, I can try and convince you otherwise as much as I can, but at the end of the day, it's your decision to make. But personally, I believe it to be unwise and I believe it to be imprudent. But you know what? If that's the route that you want to take, that's up to you. This is where I am on this issue, and I totally respect where you are on this issue. Well, folks, today was a shorter episode, but that's all we have for you tonight. I hope that you enjoyed. Thank you so much for watching. God bless you guys. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you next week.